you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Howdy. Bioharmonizers, welcome back to the show. You're listening to episode number 99, and you can find the links to the resources and everything we discuss at mindbodypeak.com/99. Today, we're discussing some very famous molecules that are making the rounds in the longevity sector, and some of which have been around for a long time, lost some steam, and now are making a comeback. One of those is the primary active ingredient in broccoli sprouts, that is sulforaphane. This is an ingredient popularized by Dr. Rhonda Patrick and is now becoming relevant again as a senolytic. We are joined by David Roberts from Mera Labs. He holds an MPH from Johns Hopkins, a master's in BME from the UVA, and a bachelor's in EE and BME from Duke. Don't worry, he will unpack those acronyms in the show. David has more than 20 years of public health experience on three different continents. In 2014, David co-founded the gut supplement Restore, and now he's bringing high bioavailability, well-absorbed versions of popular molecules to the mainstream. And in this conversation, we discuss a few of them. If you want more episodes like this, let me know. Leave us a quick rating and review wherever you downloaded the episode. I personally read each and every one of them and use those to determine what types of guests to bring on in the future. So go ahead and leave a rating and review. The instructions on how to do so are in the description of this episode. And then sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with David Roberts. David Roberts, welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance.
Hey, it's good to be here, Nick. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. I'm looking forward to today's conversation because we are covering some of my favorite ingredients and the products that you've created around them. But before we dig into that, tell me something unique about these ingredients or your products specifically.
Yeah, well, our flagship product is a sulforaphane-based product, and it is actually the only supplement that has a naturally derived stabilized sulforaphane in the capsule. So it's the only one. There's one other that has a stabilized sulforaphane in the capsule, but it's chemically derived with solvents. And all the other broccoli supplements on the market either just have ground up seeds or they have the precursor molecule glucoraphanin, which may or may not convert to about 5% into sulforaphane. You have to have the right gut bacteria. And some people think that the enzyme that converts that they put in the capsules called myrosinase actually helps with the conversion, but pretty much your body, your stomach takes care of the myrosinase and denatures it. And so it doesn't really, it's more of a marketing ploy. So yeah, we're a naturally derived stabilized sulforaphane product on the market.
Why should people care about sulforaphane in the first place?
Yeah, so you know, it's the same reason why there's a big broccoli sprout growing trend. Probably last I looked, about 1 million people grow broccoli sprouts in the U.S. And so they're getting that, they're doing that for the sulforaphane. So sulforaphane is not stable. If you make it and try to save it or encapsulate it, it degrades. And so so people grow sprouts and for that reason, and because they can get a fresh source. The benefits are actually pretty large. There are actually 39 pro health benefits for sulforaphane in the science literature. But the three we talk about most are brain health. It stimulates brain-derived neurotrophic factor at BDNF. It's the best molecule at stimulating phase two detox. So it's you hear about all these detox programs, and a lot, some of them, most of them are kind of fluff, and most of them work in the first phase, which actually sulforaphane slows down, so you don't get what's called the detox flu. You kind of feel nasty, but it actually works in all three phases. So it's great. It's one of the one-stop shops for detox. And then it actually is great for inflammation. So it turns on a pathway called NRF2. And a lot of people can feel it very quickly. In fact, we were noticing it in ourselves when we started taking it. And we were like, well, how quickly does this work? And so we did a little internal study looking at IL-6, interleukin-6 in our urine. And had about a study with six people, and it decreased IL-6 30% in 24 hours. So that's enough so you can feel the difference quickly.
Wow. Well, let's rewind a little bit and start off what you've done so far today for your health, your performance, and your bioharmony.
Yeah, I mean, so I didn't coin this, but I use it a lot. Exercise is king, nutrition is queen. If you have them together, you have a kingdom. And so nutrition and exercise are the two biggest things I could suggest for myself and anybody else. By nutrition, organic first, mainly because there's so much stuff in our food, toxins really, in our food. And organic foods, you're safe from genetically modified GMOs, which are laced with glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup. And so if you can, if there's one thing you can do, is one change would be eating organic. And then looking at, things like your vegetables, your meats, having a balanced diet, which is not necessarily what the USDA suggests, but really, having an adequate protein intake, looking at your microbiome, eating the rainbow, and the different colored foods is one way to really increase microbiome diversity. And then, exercise, I swim, I'm a swimmer, so that's how I stay fit. I like don't have a ton of time. And swimming, when I was on a team, you swim 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day. But I do high intensity, low volume interval training. And so you can actually get a really good workout in 30 minutes. So it's called HIIT, HIIT. So that those are some of the thoughts there.
Yeah, those are some solid recommendations. And give us the through line. How did you go from swimming and interested in improving your diet, your exercise, your nutrition, all this stuff, to the world of supplements and sprouting and creating a line of high absorption, high bioavailability products specifically?
Yeah. So I mean, that happened through my wife's cancer journey. So Mara was diagnosed with breast cancer around this time in 2012, so 11 years ago. And she was a nurse by training, and so knew a lot about chemo, knew she didn't want to go that route. So we looked at, and I was a researcher, had a background in sciences. And so I started researching what are some natural options, what are some plant-based options. And so sulforaphane actually kept coming up in the literature. We ended up getting a biopsy of her cancer cells and growing them in our lab, and put a bunch of different supplements on them. And sulforaphane was number three in directly killing her type of cancer. And so I went out to buy it, but all I found the glucoraphanin products. And so we started a sprouting operation in her home for, cause she was juicing every day. And then my friend, John Gilday, who's a researcher, really brilliant scientist, who was helping us. His wife had been through cancer as well. And so he had a regimen, that we were trying to follow, but, I'd mentioned to him, it sure would be nice to have a stable form of sulforaphane. And so, 2017, about 5 years later, he was like, "Hey, I think I stabilized it." And I was like, so we set it up for third party testing. Sure enough, he stabilized it. And then Mara actually, made the move. I was with a different supplement company at the time called, Ion, and now it's called Ion. It's a gut supplement. But it was called Restore before. And so I found that company, but he, but she was like, you know, we got to get this out to people. Cause the, you know, it was a game changer. And so she raised the seed money for that and then ended up, taking a turn for the worse and passing. And so after she died, we went ahead and started the company in, 2018. And, broccoli, it was the first product. And then, quickly after that, we, got a curcumin product, a quercetin product, and a berberine product. And our latest is a sleep that doesn't have melatonin, but it increases your deep sleep. And then a resveratrol product. So that's our latest that we released last month. So
is this the closest thing you have to broccoli in a pill? Because I know for some people, myself included, I don't do the best from eating broccoli. I get bloating. I don't feel all that great afterward. And when I use a continuous glucose monitor, I actually see a big spike in blood sugar from broccoli, which is counterintuitive. You wouldn't expect that. But so would someone who doesn't respond favorably like to broccoli like myself be able to use this without issues?
Sometimes yes, sometimes not. So what I can say is that sulforaphane regulates the NRF2 pathway. And NRF2 is actually the master regulator of tight junctions, which are the gut, the barrier in your gut, which things like gluten and glyphosate open, but sulforaphane shuts and keeps it shut. And so, that actually may be helpful. But if it's a allergy or intolerance, I just say try a little bit of it, see what you think. Try it with food though.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anything that increases NRF2, that pathway, will help strengthen you against threats such as gluten, which people don't necessarily realize what the impact it has on the tight junctions and the gut as a whole. Even if you aren't intolerant, if you're not celiac, you don't have any obvious sensitivities, it still plays a role in your health.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge for sure.
Yeah. I have sprouted on and off for a long time. It's interesting. It feels like a little mini science lab in the house, but at the same time, it takes up a lot of space. The smells aren't the most pleasant. It takes some care to make sure you do it right and there's no mold contamination or anything. What was your experience with sprouting? How does that compare and contrast to taking a sulforaphane-based product?
Yeah, I mean, I had little kids, 1 and 3 year old at the time we were doing that. And, you know, we had enough sprouting trays for 10 families. We were just, it was a literal operation. And occasionally you get the mold would overtake it. And so we'd lose a couple crops. If we were traveling, we wouldn't really have it. So the convenience is a differentiator. And I think also, you know, we actually did a study when we were looking for good quality organic seeds. We bought some on Amazon. We bought in 2020, we bought 7 different brands. And 6 of the 7 had no glucoraphanin to convert into sulforaphane. It was just like, what the heck, you know? And so that's the other thing is you don't really know what you're getting unless you measure. And so we actually do offer our seeds online, not because we want to be a seed company, but just to give people the option. Maybe they can't afford what we're with our capsules, but every half pound has 400 milligrams of the ability to convert to sulforaphane. And so, but I'd say, you know what you're getting when you take a capsule. You're getting at least 5 milligrams of sulforaphane. Often we put more in, just so we, can make sure that's the lowest amount we have in the capsule. And then the convenience of just, hey, I'm just going to take it now. So.
Did you sprout anything else, or was it exclusively broccoli sprouts?
Yeah, no, we offer radish on our website. Radish has, daikon radish has a lot concentration of myrosinase to maximize the conversion. So we would sprout, radish. And actually, I had a blend, that I was sprouting for the longest time. And I think we had some kale in there, a cauliflower, maybe some cabbage. And so what that does is, all of the isothiocyanates, which are that's what the family of molecules that sulforaphane's in, there are a bunch of cousin molecules. They work in synergy. And so you actually get, a higher effect, than just if you just extracted just sulforaphane. So in our capsule, actually, we add the isothiocyanate from watercress. It's not in broccoli seed. Broccoli seed has a number of, 10 other isothiocyanates. And we add a 11th called phenethyl, PEITC, from watercress. And actually, we do that, and that's the plus in broccoli plus, which is the name. The plus is the PATC. But we do that because there's a paper, and we've actually matched it internally, looking at this synergistic effect between sulforaphane and PEITC. And so additive effect is 1 plus 1 equals 2. A synergistic effect is 1 plus 1 equals 6. And so that it actually is it's actually really potent. And we actually have a kids version for both kids and adults that we don't put the PITC in there because it's so potent. So it's a bit more, it has half the sulforaphane, no PITC. And so it's much more gentle on the stomach.
Oh, so that's the main issue, is that it can be a bit harsh on the stomach. It's not going to be harmful for the kids.
No, my kids take take the regular broccoli. They've taken it, since they were wee lads. It's definitely not harmful. In fact, the harm in a lot of the pharmaceuticals comes in damaging your kidneys, right? So they actually grow renal proximal tubule cells for these toxicity studies. And so what they do is they grow them in the lab, and then you put whatever pharmaceutical you're doing, you're looking at. And the lethal dose 50 is where the 50% of those cells die. And so they base the dosing off what that toxicity test is. So we actually did that for our broccoli. And we actually put them on a Friday and left it over the weekend, kind of forgot about it, remembered like Tuesday. And actually, when we looked, there were more renal proximal tubule cells grown than had been when we put them in. And so it actually not only is not toxic, it actually promotes health for your kidneys.
That's cool.
It is cool. It's like, because the cell culture medium that you put them in is optimized. It shouldn't necessarily grow. So it was pretty shocking, actually. It's pretty, yeah, so very cool.
You mentioned that there are at least 37 recognized benefits of sulforaphane and the glucoraphanin and all of the other constituents. Can you rattle off a few of the other ones just so that we have a list here?
Yeah. So, when we were getting going, we went on to self-hacked is a website that, and he had, Joe had all 39. Since then, because the Google ban a couple years ago, where all these health sites all of a sudden couldn't be found on Google, they had to pare it back. I think there are a dozen, maybe 15 on there now. But the sulforaphane's impact on NRF2, it actually turns on something called the antioxidant response system, which is it genetically impacts genes. And it's sort of a master antioxidant in that it creates over 200 different antioxidants in your body, and it keeps that genetic modification stays on for 72 hours. And so, whereas a vitamin C, which is an antioxidant, one vitamin C molecule can negate a pro-oxidant, this sulforaphane just creates a whole suite of antioxidants and just keeps it on for 72 hours. And so the antioxidant response system, one of the ones that people find interesting is it actually helps with balding. And so actually we have a growing number of testimonials from little old ladies who got their hair back. They're like, we love you so much. So what it does is it actually blocks that form of testosterone, DHT, that actually causes balding.
Does that mechanism work kind of like the hair loss medication, like the finasterides and that class that a lot of men take and also have side effects?
I don't think so. I don't know how those work actually, but I don't think it works the same way. But it actually, sulforaphane is great for, it has a numerous different anti-aging effects. So it actually simulates autophagy. So cells that are old and maybe have lost their way, that it leads them to apoptosis, programmed cell death. And then the same with the mitochondria. It stimulates mitophagy as well. And so there are a number of other anti-aging, I think three other anti-aging effects. And then, so those are four, a list of four different things it does.
Yeah, you mentioned it also has, it has effects on the brain and helps with neurodegeneration. And by stimulating BDNF, it might also improve ability to learn and form new connections and remember.
Yeah, so BDNF is really at the heart of brain health. There is some growing body of research on different issues, brain issues. With supplements, you can't really talk about diseases legally, and so I try not to. But if you have something you're looking for, you can go to PubMed and type in sulforaphane and whatever thing you're interested in, and it more likely than not would pop up. But what it does is it actually preserves existing neurons and then helps you grow, actually grow new neurons, which when I went through school, we didn't know was possible. But now, we know it is. And, a number of, about a quarter of the people who take broccoli have vivid dreaming at night. And so that's the BDNF, the neuroplasticity working.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's like, whoa. So I'll have people be like, hey, this really didn't work for me, and I'm like, have you noticed any dreams recently? They're like, no way. That's that? Yes. So.
Yeah. Cause there's a whole faction of people who believe that all the chemicals that come, natural chemicals that come from plants are dangerous. They tend to fall into the carnivore camp. And it seems like with some of these, such as sulforaphane, there's so much information and research on them. It's hard to ignore and just throw it all out. Why do you think it is that they are completely eschewing everything that's out there?
Yeah, I mean, I think the carnivore guys, there's one specifically who's anti-sulforaphane, but the head honcho, I can't remember his name, but they, they see when people just start eating carnivore and the meat is actually high quality, all of a sudden they're seeing pretty profound, and they have issues, right? They're seeing pretty profound disease reversal, things like that. And so I'd say, the folks that tout that, especially if they're in the medical field, they're like, we have proof. Like, we're seeing things really turn around for these people. And so I'd say that's why they're pro, but I'd say, and the same could be said, you know, for veganism. Like, I know doctors who are very much you got to be vegan, and they see huge turnarounds too, because again, they're cleaning up their diet. It's less about vegan, you know, vegetables or meats. And it's more about, you're just not putting crap into your system, like meats that have hormones and antibiotics, and veggies that are laced with glyphosate. And that's actually another thing that we've looked into is, glyphosate's everywhere, right? And so, so broccoli actually, looked at, glyphosate does, Roundup does on, to NRF2. And so it actually decreases, NRF2, substantially. And so, you know, that's an issue because, especially with detox, it basically, if you get a glyphosate exposure, every cell in your body has NRF2 and has the ability to detox. All of a sudden, it's turned off. And so it's almost like a master toxin in that your body stops detoxing everything else it's being exposed to. And so when you take broccoli, it reverses that. It brings it back up to normal. Similarly, we looked at something called gap junctions. So gap junctions are really how cells communicate. So when you get a cut, you know, and it heals back, how does it do that, right? There's a ton of communication going on that's telling that area to heal back to where it was before. And so that just it's not magic, it's communication. And so the glyphosate actually cuts that communication by half. It halves it. So it, essentially, you know, that's a big deal. And that's also probably why, you know, glyphosate's been linked to cancer, is because that's what cancer cells are. They're cells that have lost their way. They're cells that that all of a sudden don't know who they are, and that's because they've lost their communication. And so what broccoli does is it reestablishes that communication, so it brings it back up to normal, so it reverses that that glyphosate insult. So, I mean, with both of those, if you are eating clean, and we looked at it with no glyphosate insult, you get a even much, you know, higher level of communication than baseline normal, if you're taking broccoli, which is really good. And then same with NRF2. NRF2 is just goes through the roof. So it's turned on a lot. And actually, sulforaphane is the best natural molecule at turning on the NRF2 pathway.
Yeah. I think the carnivore argument against these types of molecules is that they claim they should have a package insert like medications do, because unlike nutrients, normal nutrients, vitamins and minerals that we consume, there's sulforaphane and other molecules like this, other phytochemicals are having other downstream consequences. They're modulating pathways that we might not fully understand yet.
Yeah. What we do is we look at a lot of we have a number of studies where we put sulforaphane on cancer cells, and pretty much most, you know, and this again, this is in a lab. We're not trying to link sulforaphane with curing cancer, but not at all. But essentially, 95% of the cells, I don't know, not exactly 95%, but a high number of our cells, that cancer cells that we put them on, actually die. They kill directly. It's sort of a smart chemotherapeutic in that, you know, it doesn't kill renal cells, which is what you're trying not to do with real actual chemo, right? Because then you're trying to kill the cancer cells. And so this actually helps the cancer, the renal proximal tubule cells, the kidney cells, and kills the cancer. And so from that, if that's their theory, I'd just say prove it, you know, whatever. And furthermore, you know, when you're talking about carnivore, I'll just give my little two cents there. I mean, we're clearly not carnivores. We are omnivores. You know, dogs who have the canine teeth, like, they are carnivores. Our gut is not designed just to eat meat. It's semi-ludicrous that people are saying, hey, you know, this is the only way. It could be a way, but I tell you, you know, I was at a event at Ben Greenfield's back in September, and there were about three or four guys that had done this guy's carnivore, and all of them had to stop because months down the road, and they were faithful, and months down the road, they had all had gut issues, and that's because, as for a variety of reasons, but partially because we're not carnivores, you know? And so I think it probably also screwed their microbiome. And so anyway, I don't think that is the answer.
Yeah. I mean, there's a very profound, like, symbiotic relationship between plants and humans, or at least there has been historically, and to think that we don't need these and they can't benefit us in any way, it seems strange. But maybe acutely, when you have a condition of some sort and you need to do an elimination diet of some sorts, then you can use carnivore strategically for a short period of time to remove things, gradually reintroduce them, and find a sustainable meal plan that works for you over the long term.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. I think most people would say that would be a good use of that diet. I think the other thing too is, like, if everybody just ate meat, I mean, I'm not sure there'd be enough meat, you know, on the planet, you know? So anyway, it's I don't think it's the solution for everything.
Yeah. And there's so much difference between people too. Some people do much better on meat. Some people do much better on solely plants. So whenever you're advocating one particular diet, one generic templated cookie cutter diet for everyone, it's not going to work for the vast majority of people.
Yeah, no, that's true. So I, with that in mind, take your sulforaphane.
Yeah. The other topic I want to discuss with you today, David, is a compound called berberine. That is one that I came across when I was researching the natural alternatives to metformin for blood sugar stabilization and a whole lot more. And in my own testing, it seems to work quite well. The normal version of berberine I've used also does have some side effects. So can you walk us through what berberine is and why you find it so exciting?
Yeah, I mean, so basically it's a plant-based compound, and it's been around for a long time, thousands of years. It was in Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine. And so, you know, it's out there. It's been out there for a while as a plant-based medicinal. But, you know, I was excited about it from the keto standpoint, because I do the ketogenic diet periodically. And, you know, if you can get your blood glucose, you know, you're trying to get that that ideal one-to-one ratio, and you know, if you can drop your blood glucose 10 points, you know, that helps you. And if you're from the standpoint of you eat a late meal, you know, when your melatonin starts to stimulate, your insulin production stops. And so you can be left with a bunch of glucose in your bloodstream, which, you know, with my wife's cancer journey, I'm always thinking about cancer, and that's like the perfect storm, right? You having sugar feeds cancer cells. And so, you know, you want to get your blood glucose down. You don't want all this glucose hanging out in your body, at night. And so, and part of that too is with, the, you know, the internal rust glycation. And basically it helps get rid of the glucose. So basically what happens is, the regular berberine does that as well, but it can take a month. It can take numbers of weeks for you to see a move in that blood glucose. So what we did was we did an internal study looking at our bioavailable berberine, and so within basically if you eat a meal at night, do the fast throughout the night, wake up, skip breakfast, but around 7 you take 2 of our berberites, you'll be in ketosis by noon. And so that's cool, because some people it can be really hard to get that, get that ketone level up. And so you'll have a ketone level, around a 0.4, a blood glucose level around 80. Well, it's not deep ketosis, but it's sort of, it gets you in the game pretty quickly. So that's how I became excited about it.
Yeah, that's an interesting concept of using different nutraceuticals and molecules to accelerate and amplify the benefits of fasting or intermittent fasting and to not have to suffer through it. If you're taking something like berberine at a normal dose during a fast, since you're not going to be consuming a bunch of calories that would spike your blood sugar, do you have to worry about going hypoglycemic, getting low blood sugar, and then craving sweets or high glycemic carbs because your blood sugar drops so low?
Yeah, I mean, it depends if you're keto adapted. And so, if you are doing a ketogenic diet, it'll take, can take about a month for you to actually, your body to adapt to using ketones as fuel. And so, that's a pretty long time. But once you're adapted, you could hop off the ketogenic diet for a month or so, hop back on, and it's more quick. You get pretty quickly adapted. So if you're a keto adapted and you take a berberine and it dips, but you actually have ketones, you won't actually have that same if you're using ketones as fuel, you won't have that same drop or hypo that somebody who is not, and that's happened to me. I mean, not since I've been doing keto, but I was hiking in Kenya around Mount Kenya, and I went hypo. I was hypoglycemic, came back, had a thing of Kool-Aid, like a vat, and I was just like, because I just needed sugar. I mean, it was dramatic. I'd say, it just depends. You do want to be careful. If you're fasting, I'm not sure you need to take berberine, but if maybe at the beginning of the fast to kind of stimulate things, you might want to. But yeah, I just say watch it. I don't use a continuous glucose monitor. I'm waiting for the third generation Freestyle Libre, which is like a dot, to come. They have them in Europe, and I've used the first gens, and you always bump. They're such a but I do use the Precision Extra finger prick that does ketones as well, and so that's good enough.
That's a good point. One thing, I use a continuous glucose monitor a couple times a year, maybe once, twice a year, just to get a baseline of the foods I'm eating and the so-called health foods, what they're actually doing to my blood sugar. Because spoiler alert, it's often not what you think it would be, especially based on the claims on all the labels. But since I do that, I sometimes take berberine and I see how low my blood sugar can go. But I never thought about the other side of things, that if your ketones are high because you're not eating a bunch of processed carbs, you have your insulin well controlled, then you might not go hypoglycemic because the ketones are acting as another fuel source.
Yeah, and it's your, you need a lot of glucose for your brain. And in the Krebs cycle, where glucose when glucose turns into 1-ATP. So glucose can be thought of as like money in the bank. You know, if you have money in the bank and you you're at a place that only takes cash, that money is not going to be, it's not usable to you. But having some bills is that is usable for the, in that instance. And so glucose is like money in the bank. ATP is the usable form of energy. That process, you know, basically is how we, when we breathe in oxygen and we breathe out CO2, that oxygen is feeding that, Krebs cycle. One of the things it does too is if it can take ketones and you convert into ATP. So actually one ketone converts into 1.5 ATP. So it's actually more efficient. It's a much more more efficient pathway. And so, that can be, you know, it's why people, it's why people drop weight. It's why on the ketogenic diet. And it's also why people, you know, if you're fasting, if you've ever fasted, there's that kind of euphoric, like, wow, like everything's clear. You know, that those are the ketones being used in providing that clarity.
Yeah. And from my own experience, whenever I need to control my blood sugar or I know I'm going to go out and eat some junk, I will exercise beforehand and fatigue my muscles, empty them, their glycogen stores, so that anything I eat does preferentially fill those instead of becoming fat. And then I will go on a walk before or after the meal. And then after that, I'd say berberine is the next best thing to control my blood sugar. And that's one facet of it. That's a big facet of it, managing blood glucose and improving the metabolism of glucose. But there's other benefits of berberine that I don't hear talked about as often.
Yeah. Which one would you like to talk about?
Any and all.
One that actually I didn't know about until I was fanning out to people who are using the product, trying to get testimonials. And most of the people who came back were using it for sleep. I'm like, what? That's weird. Like, what does it do for sleep? And so I actually found this paper, and you can get on PubMed and type in berberine and Valium. And so there's a study comparing, showing berberine be a better sleep aid than Valium. That's because, really? Yeah, it's so cool. I like, whoa, okay, that's crazy. But it's because it actually increases your serotonin by 30%, and it increases dopamine by 25%. So dopamine being, you know, serotonin is a precursor to melatonin. Dopamine is that feel good molecule that, you know, addicts are going for when they're, you know, shooting up and stuff like that. Or if you do something good for somebody and feel good, that's dopamine. I'd actually also, just found another paper, increases, oxytocin, by about 15%, which is when a mom sees a baby, that they fall in love, that's the oxytocin. So yeah, it's pretty neat from that standpoint.
Yeah. Sleep, love, and connection. But I thought dopamine is stimulating. Would you want that before bed?
Yeah. I mean, apparently so. I mean, it's
one of those where when it's in the web, the whole ecosystem of everything else, it doesn't have the same effects as if you just target dopamine by itself.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So we actually have the berberine is a big part of our sleep product. And so, we put actually our broccoli in there, our berberine in there, and then, some other things that would help with serotonin, and then sleep mood. So we have some, you know, with COVID and stuff like that, with, you know, a lot of people getting depressed, you know, the people who are depressed can't sleep. And then people who can't sleep tend to struggle with depression. So what comes first, the chicken or the egg, right? And so, you know, really, we wanted a sleep product that dealt with both. And so we actually, a lot of people who are depressed can't methylate their B vitamins. The methylated version of the B are basically the usable form of the B vitamins. So we have a methylated B6, and then we have a methyl donor, actually. And so if you think about a reaction, if you have like a bunch of methyl groups, it can start driving that methylation process. So we have a methyl donor. But berberine, yeah, we are pretty confident about it from the research and looking at both, it being really great for sleep and especially deep sleep.
One of the main reported side effects that scares a lot of people away from metformin is its impact on exercise and specifically the hormetic adaptations that occur as a result. How is berberine with exercise? Does it have beneficial effects or detrimental?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Because the pathway that metformin uses causes issues with the exercise, berberine is different, and so it actually does not have that same issue, if you're concerned about that about metformin and you want the longevity aspects without the detrimental exercising effects, then that would be what to do. It would be a good alternative.
I've seen some metformin users show their head-to-head results of metformin and berberine side by side. In certain cases, berberine has actually come out on top in terms of the effects, but then you also probably aren't going to have the same concerns that you might have if you're trying to get all the benefits and possibly mitigate the downsides of metformin.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've had people reach out and be like, hey, can I stop my metformin? I'm like, dude, talk to your doctor. You know, if you talk to your doctor, they're going to say no. You know, but I do know of some folks that have done that anyway. And I just say, you just really need to be careful. It's nothing to, if you're monitoring regularly, you know, and you're being, but most people on metformin who are using it for glucose control, I don't think they monitor their glucose regularly. You know, they're not doing it for biohacking. But I'd say if you're the rare person that does, and just, you can, you know, talk to your doctor. If he agrees, try it out, but monitor, test always.
Absolutely with you on that. What else? So we've talked about the effects on blood sugar, on sleep, on exercise. Are there?
Satiation. And so I know people who take it for weight control, which haven't really marketed it for that, but because, you know, that can be a slippery slope with, well, we're a wellness company and not a dieting company. But I'd say along with that, microbiome, so your microbiome composition can impact your weight as well. I know a number of people who take our product, our Berberine product, for weight control. My mom being one of them, I didn't know that. Until she ran out, she's like, you need to give me some more of that Berberine. I gained 2 pounds. So she doesn't talk like that, but, microbiome and, satiation and weight control are some ways that, you know, I know people are using it for. I know it does impact microbiome. I've not seen excellent studies on weight control, but I knew I think you know, in talking with John Gilday, he says there's definitely pathways that would make it help with the satiation and weight control. So, yeah.
And are there any other biomarkers we would see improve from this, such as obviously markers of blood sugar or long-term blood sugar, but then also what about cholesterol?
Yeah, I think it can help with cholesterol for sure. That's one of the things, you know, that's listed. Again, if you go to Self-Hacked, they have the list of all the pretty much every plant-based compound and every benefit. They do a great job of. But yeah, I think cholesterol is lowered. And I haven't not drilled down on that one and read research on that because, you know, broccoli actually is really great for cholesterol as well. And, blood pressure as well.
I'm a huge fan of Self-Hacked and their newer offering Self-Decode. It's been an invaluable resource. Whenever I research things, they do a good job of synthesizing everything and rounding up a lot of the research, especially pre-Google shadow banning days, but it's still a great resource nonetheless.
Yeah. And Joe's in Israel now, and I can't actually ship stuff to Israel. They won't, but we have friends that travel there periodically. And so I got him some. I don't know him personally, but we were emailing back and forth and like, hey, do you want to try it out? He's like, yeah. So Joe, if you're listening, how did it go? I haven't heard back.
One thing I noticed, David, in your Berbalit product is that you include a broccoli seed complex. That seems atypical. Why'd you choose to include that in there?
Yeah, so we have two technologies to make our products bioavailable. And our kind of flagship is with our Kirkleet and our resveratrol. We create a unique molecule that we have a patent pending on. So we take a protein and then we attach a plant-based carbohydrate or a sea-based carbohydrate to it. And we make a unique molecule that then we bind this, the plant, like the good phyto molecule to. And then that combination just gets the, allows the bioavailability to be the best on the market. The second best on the market, and we did this for a professional product. We had doctors kind of complaining to us, hey, you know, we have clients, their patients that we sell broccoli to, and then they don't come back, they just go to Amazon. And can you have a dedicated line for us? And so I was like, well, yeah. What if I just throw in some regular curcumin into a bigger broccoli capsule and throw some orange on the label and say it's broccoli professional with curcumin? Would that satisfy you? They're like, yeah. And so created that thinking, that curcumin is just going to stay in your gut, but your gut is like. If the curcumin just works on your gut inflammation, that's huge. It's why people who take curcumin actually do see a difference. It's because they're seeing a difference in their gut, not in their knee. But we're selling that for a while. And then John was doing an experiment on our Kirkleet product and comparing them to different, like Novasol, like Mariva, different brands. And he just decided to throw, I didn't ask him to, he decided to throw the broccoli professional with curcumin on there. And it was, so Kirkleet was the best, but like the broccoli pro with curcumin was the second best by a long shot. And so we actually make everything, we make all the powders, we encapsulate and bottle and ship all from our facility in Charlottesville. And it's just we can't make that protein carbohydrate powder quick enough. And so with the Berbalit product, because of that limitation, I was like, let's just add sulforaphane. So it's actually broccoli powder that we don't on the label. If you say it, there's sulforaphane, you have to put a number by it. And we just didn't want to go through that hassle and get it tested and stuff like that. So we just broccoli seed complex, but it's broccoli powder with sulforaphane, and that actually gets it through the gut barrier at a really high rate. Eventually, when we expand, we'll transition the actually when you make berbalite with and combine it to our protein carbohydrate complex, it turns red. So that is actually pretty. That was the other thing, is like, it was, people would be freaked out. Why is the berberine red? So, but it's bio. It's very bioavailable. I can say it is the most bioavailable berberine on the market. From that we know of, that we've tested. We've tested dozens.
Okay, well, David, perhaps we'll have to do another one sometime and talk about turmeric and curcumin and curculeat and all of those and what else you're building. But right now we will start to wind this one down. And if folks are interested in trying any of the products we've discussed today or others, how can they find you on the internet?
Yeah, so we're the company's called Mara Labs, after my late wife, mara-labs.com. You go there and then you can navigate and to any of the products, really. We'll have if you enter this into the discount code box at checkout, Nick25, you get 25% off your first purchase. So give that a try. Try the product out. We have 100-day money back, unconditional money back guarantee, mainly because we know our products work. But everybody's different, so there may be that person who either doesn't want to try it because they're afraid that if it doesn't work, they'll lose their money. Don't be afraid. We have that pretty ironclad return policy. And then there's the person who it may not work for, or they don't notice an effect. It's fine. Just contact us, info@mara-labs.com. We'll refund you. But our return rate is very low. But there are people occasionally it doesn't work for, and that's okay.
Thank you for that. And if people want to connect with you on social, are you guys active on any of them?
Yeah, we're on Instagram, The Mara Labs. And then that's also on Facebook, is The Mara Labs. So yeah, just go on there. We have we also have a blog that we update every week. And we do podcasts. And so all of those can be found at on our website, under our journal. We call it our blog is our journal. And we talk about, you know, everything. It's not just our products. Just we're a wellness company. We want to educate. And so we talk a lot about pretty much everything. There's a lot there about our products that you can learn about too. This past week, we talked about my boys and I have been monitoring our COVID antibodies for the last year, because, you know, 12 months ago, the thought was that at least in the federal government policy was that you lose them in 90 days, which, you know, if you know anything about epidemiology, is crazy. Like, no, natural immunity, maybe 90 years, but not 90 days. It was so politicized. I was like, we're just going to start measuring them, and we still have them. You know, we're not going to enter into the political debate. We'll just measure them and release it and just show. So that's what we've been doing.
Well, David, let's go on to the final questions I ask all guests on this show. And we will start off with, if there was a worldwide burning of the books and all knowledge on earth is lost, you get to save the works of three teachers. Who would you choose and why?
Well, I would say the first book I would save is the Bible, because it has a lot of profound wisdom in there. And that's my belief system and worldview. I'd say the works of Linus Pauling. So he's the guy, he's the only person to win the Nobel Prize in science twice. And he was the guy that showed how profoundly the vitamin C works against cancer. And then I think Mayo Clinic kind of decided to do a, repeat his findings with, instead of IV vitamin C, oral vitamin C, and didn't show that it impacted cancer. And so they were like, vitamin C is disproven. His work wasn't, I'm like, you compare apples and oranges, like, because it doesn't work the same. You know, you can only take 4 grams of vitamin C max before you start getting diarrhea. And so not much gets in. Whereas you can do 25 to up to, 100, 150 grams of vitamin C IV, and that can really impact. And that's a, yeah. So his works are awesome. J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, just for some nice entertainment there.
It's a good list. I noticed that you and Dr. Zach Bush talk about glyphosate and the tight junctions and cancer in very similar ways.
That's interesting. Yeah, I haven't watched Zach in a while. So we used to work together, and we both basically learned what we know from John Gilday. So John is he's the brains of both our company and Ion. I still am a owner of Ion, but I just don't have any day-to-day interaction there. But yeah, we kind of cut our teeth under the same person. So how specifically have you noticed that?
Well, just the way you were describing it towards the beginning of the interview, the exact words you used, the way you were describing it, it sounded familiar. And I've listened to him on plenty of other podcasts over the last bunch of years. And I didn't realize that you both studied under the same mentor. I'll have to look him up.
Yeah, John. In fact, yeah, you should have John on sometimes. He is he's an expert in cancer, but he actually works at the University of Virginia in a kidney lab and looks at salt sensitivity and inverse sensitivity. Yeah, he's a great guy.
David, I know you have to run in a second. The last question that I need to know from you is, what is one thing that your tribe, the Mar-a-Lot Labs tribe, does not know about you?
I would say one of the things that Mara Labs may not know about me is that I have kissed a giraffe when I was in Kenya for about a month on safari and stuff like that. Going to this place, it was a giraffe sanctuary, and that you can put like a piece of food and they just come up and go grab it. So that's a little fun fact that I don't talk about very often.
That is unique. I have to say I've never heard that before. But David, thank you for joining me on the Mind Body Peak Performance Podcast. It's been a pleasure hosting you.
Nick, thanks so much for having me. And remember, mara-labs.com, Nick20, if you want to try out the products. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/ and then the number of the episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.